worse, that he would be so long-winded I wouldn't have to talk very long. And Carl, there's something about those blondes with green eyes. I'm still very afraid of mine. As I thought about, you know, the subject of what I should talk about this evening, Lord's impressed on my heart for a long time this particular subject. And it's less a testimony and more about direction I feel in my life and the way that I think he's working. And I realize that to talk about this here tonight, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, because this is the faithful few and the ones who are typically here. So this may not be necessarily the audience, but again, it's just what the Lord's laid on my heart, and I'll try not to read the notes that I've made up here. I have two friends, and with those two friends, I often talk about religion and politics. And both of these friends live in other states. So they call themselves Christians, but I don't think they believe the way that we in a Bible-preaching Baptist church would believe. So I always try to reference God in our conversations, and again, I just think that the way they believe and the way that they practice is quite a bit different. So you might ask yourself, why is he starting a testimony with something like that? Well, in part, it's because it's Baptist Men's Day, so it's about men. And the other thing is, as I look around our church and our community and even the country, I think that Christians need to start an open and frank discussion with the world around us. The Spirit impresses on me increasingly every day, more and more, that I think men need to take leadership positions at home, at work, and in the church, and in public. We've been told all our lives that we're not supposed to talk about religion and politics. Those are the two off subject or taboo subjects. But I'm convinced in today's day and time, when I look at the news and I hear what's going on around us, that we really do need to have conversations about religion and politics. And you can relax, I'm not going to start a political discussion from the pulpit at this point, but there is a point coming. And this I do want to read to you. I looked up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary the definition of religion. And among three other definitions, Webster says, religion is a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. Merriam-Webster also defines philosophy as the most basic beliefs, concepts, and attitudes of an individual or group. Finally, one of their definitions of politics, from the personal perspective, is the political opinions or sympathies of a person. So the point is that our religion and our philosophy and our politics are inseparable. They're really the same thing. So listen to what the Bible says. In Judges 21:25, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his eyes." In Isaiah 5:20-21, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." And then in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in the later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars." If that doesn't describe the United States today, I don't know what does. So I think about this example from the life of Jesus. In Mark chapter 12, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes were testing Jesus on the subject of paying taxes, and their goal was to trip him up. So Jesus asked for a denarius, a coin, and he held this coin up and he says, "Whose image do you see on this coin?" And when they answered, "Caesar's," in verse 17, he said, famous line we probably heard, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. He basically taught that we're under the rule of government, but that our biblical teachings are a higher authority. But what I think is interesting, the point that he really made was that in this world, the two exist together. God and government exist together. So today, Christianity is under attack in the U.S. One of these friends that I talk to tells me all the time, he says, I think it's not too far away that Christianity will be an underground religion. We're talking to Gideon sometimes about different countries where they're thirsty, where they're hungry for the Bible. And a lot of times it's underground, it's difficult. You know, in China and different places for a long time, you couldn't distribute Bibles, and if you were caught with one, you were in big trouble. And we talk about how it seems that in that political climate, there's a greater thirst for the word than there is right here where we've had relative freedom. So I think if you look at the history of our country and our spiritual founding and the fact that our canon of law for a long time was really what I'd call the Judeo-Christian ethic as contained in Scripture, we're a very uniquely founded place. And so when I look at what I hear in the news and all that sort of thing from a political perspective, the world, the government, the public, they're becoming more and more antagonistic towards Christians. So as I think about that, and I want to be an encouragement, you know, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus has won the war, Jesus has been victorious, and we know the end of the book, so we know what's coming. I think, though, that as we look about what's happening, will we lose the favor of God in this country because of the way that we're allowing government and the public to treat us? I think that the unsaved are acting exactly the way we should expect them to act, and they're acting exactly the way the Bible says they will. So the situation in the U.S. isn't just their fault. I think it's part our fault, because we're less vocal than we really ought to be. So what I have been impressed about in my own life, and as I talk with these two guys and even other friends, is how we need to be more vocal, more outward, more taking the opportunity to stand up when we should. And I say that to myself. You know, that's the way where I feel Lord's working in my heart and life now. And I think, again, tonight it's the faithful few, it's the ones who don't really need the message, but men need revival. And that's the call in my heart, is that men need revival. I think that Christian men particularly need to stand up and be counted. I think we need to ensure that our religion and our philosophy and our politics are completely aligned. And I think if they don't match up, anything less than that is hypocritical. So my encouragement today is, I know the end of the story, but between now and then I'm supposed to occupy until he comes. So I want to be sure that I'm more vocal and take more opportunity to witness and more opportunity to stand up for what's right and to call the things that are right, right, and the things that are wrong, wrong. So I think, you know, today I would encourage you and me. Our country needs prayer. We also need to hear, it needs to hear our voices. So that's the kind of the word that was on my heart, was I think that we oftentimes shy away from political conversation. And I think that, you know, in the pulpit, we don't need to be politically specific, but we can certainly hold up the voter's guide that we have in the Bible. And there's a lot of things. The more that I've studied recently, I've studied a lot of things about politics. I made the statement, I'm off the range now. We've still got a couple minutes. I said once several years ago in Sunday school that God was a capitalist. And some people kind of snickered and thought it was funny, but more and more as I look into the Word, I see capitalism all throughout Christianity. And I don't want to dive off into that at this point, but I think that we are blessed to be in a particularly unique place in a particularly unique time. And as we begin a pastor search particularly, I'm impressed by what will our future be? What are the needs that we have as a church body? You know, what's our direction? Where are we going? So, don't know if any of that rings true with you, if you share the sentiment. There's not a good way to close, other than just I thought I'd share a couple of minutes of what's going on in my heart. And I hope that this church will thrive, not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of souls. And I hope that this church will thrive in a way that brings family members in. There have been family members that we've been praying for years, of folks that go here. And I think that it'll all be tied to our faithfulness to God and His Word, and part of that faithfulness is going to be how we react to the changing country around us. So I'd encourage you to be more vocal and outspoken and outstanding and standing up for what's right. And that's, again, what I feel impressed to do, and I'm trying to do that in my sphere of influence, to make sure that the people who I work with and the people that I talk to hear that message. Maybe if they don't hear it from you or hear it from me, there's nobody else that'll ever tell them. So, thank you. I think my 5 minutes is up.